This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Do you have a ratty old sweater that speaks to you? I mean, really, when you pick it up, does a tiny voice in your head plead, "Keep me"? Fans of Marie Kondo's mega-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, take a rigorous approach to organization. Keep only the things that spark joy. The movement proposes that letting go of material clutter makes room for a healthier, more fulfilled life. In a New York Times op-ed, Stephanie Land says the popular self-help program is for those who can afford excess. She's a freelance writer and author and joins us for more on the class politics of decluttering. And Stephanie, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Marie Kondo's book on tidying up shot to the top of the bestsellers list, as has her follow-up book. There are countless videos online showing you how to fold things in the Marie Kondo way. Why do you think this so appealed to people?
I think people maybe feel a little bit out of control for various reasons. And so when someone comes along and says, "I can help you simplify your life and all you have to do is fold clothes differently," you know, people grasp onto that.
It is proposed as a kind of unburdening, that the less stuff you have, the more virtuous you are. Now, you find that to be a privileged view. Why?
Yeah, I find it very privileged. I mean, even when you're talking about it, I have a hard time understanding why it would be helpful to me. I've always had just enough stuff that I could have that was necessary, and I couldn't afford to get anything else. But I also couldn't afford to get rid of things because I might need them in the future. So I've kind of always been a minimalist by nature, but it was not because of any virtue. It was just because of my economic status. You know, even as I have been making more money in the last year, I have been getting rid of a lot of stuff. But it's still a stress to me. Like, I have to constantly remind myself, if I end up needing this later, I can pay to replace it. Like, I can buy it. So I think that's a huge aspect to the minimalism thing, is if you whittle all of your stuff down to 100 things, or, you know, however many they have, if you suddenly remember, like, "Oh man, I got rid of that wok pan and I need that for tonight, I'm having people over," they can go out and buy one. And people in poverty, they don't have that option at all.
If you have excess, if you have too much stuff clouding you, you're not going to be happy. I mean, doesn't that make sense, even if you are just struggling to get by?
I think so. But I'm not going to judge someone who isn't bothered by that. You know, there are some people who aren't mentally bogged down by a lot of clutter in their house. And that is the way that they live, and that is how they like their house to be.
Well, you do write in your piece that you hunt for the deal. You hurry to Walmart for sales. Do you feel judged for that by the minimalist movement?
I don't hurry in the sense of like Black Friday or, but you know, I know when the seasons change, Walmart usually has a lot of clothes on clearance, and I feel horrible because a lot of my friends, especially in, I live in kind of a liberal town, and I've had many conversations with people who just scoff at Walmart and hate it. And I've watched all the documentaries. I know how horrible Walmart is, and I still can't afford to even go to Goodwill, because you go to Goodwill and shirts for kids are $4 or $5 sometimes. Where I can go to Walmart and get a shirt on clearance for a dollar.
Well, minimalist logic says having less makes you happier. Now, you wrote about your experience as a single mom, putting yourself through college, working cleaning people's houses. What did you observe about people who were your clients' relationship to stuff?
It seemed to me that, I'm being general here, but many of my clients worked a lot. And I saw a lot of evidence that that possibly stressed them out. They lined up in their bathrooms. They had sleep aids and painkillers and, you know, medication for anxiety and stress. Whereas I thought that once you had the house and you had the nice car and you had the stuff to go with it, that meant happiness. And I was really surprised to find out and disenchanted, really, that wasn't the case, that they were just as unhappy as the rest of us without any money or a nice house.
Stephanie Land, she's a writing fellow at the Center for Community Change and wrote an op-ed in the New York Times called The Class Politics of Decluttering. Stephanie, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
You can find a link to read her article at wordofmouthradio.org.